You're good.
Thank you very much. All right, I would like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Westmont Public Library on Tuesday, October 20th, 2020 at 7:03 p.m. Before roll call, I would like to announce that we have determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the public health disaster declaration in Illinois. This virtual meeting is open to all and is also being recorded. And finally, in an effort to provide even greater transparency, all votes at this meeting will be taken as roll call votes. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Here.
Trustee Carmichael?
Here.
Secretary Delano?
Here.
Vice President Martins?
Here.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Here.
Trustee Parikh?
Here.
President Fichtel?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance. You are to stand and face east. I pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On to the approval of the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the regular board meeting of September 15th, 2020, the communication log of October 2020, and the director's report of October 2020.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Okay.
John and Annie, discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
On to the open forum. I believe Ruth is with us tonight. Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
And then on to board members, going in order in which I see them. John?
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Rajesh?
I have nothing tonight. I am actually in Houston. Thank God for the virtual meetings that I can join.
Thank you. Annie?
Nothing.
Heather?
I just want to say I got so much enjoyment out of the squirrel story. And like that, I got mileage out of that. I entertained my friends and family, and I'm glad it all came out well without any, you know, harm or damage or anything more than a good story. But who would have thought that, you know, improving airflow in the library would lead to such wildlife encounters? But I'm glad all that was handled well. So thank you for that.
It was. I was reading on my phone, like, oh my gosh, this story is still going. Thank you for typing that up for us.
Yeah.
Or for posterity, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. We said we would laugh about it after it was over. Like in the middle of it, there was, you know, some sleepless nights for me, just worried about how this was all going to end. But it did a good story and a hefty invoice, as you'll note. So.
Elaine?
I have nothing.
And Carrie?
Nothing, other than to mention it seems like half of the board members are in different rooms this time around, and I'm afraid I missed a memo.
Are they? Yeah, maybe so. All right, on to our director.
I have a few things to mention this evening. One, and perhaps I should have mentioned this under director's report, but you'll notice under, you know, on the stats page, that while, you know, we're still down circulation wise and people count wise, it has been slowly increasing. So foot traffic and circulation month over month from the same month of last year. So this month it was down overall 25%. So I think we'll continue to see that trend. We have picking up week over week. Sorry. So So I just wanted to mention that. And then I wanted to mention extended hours. So we are actually going to be adding Sunday hours. And
sorry, could we all check our mutes while we're Julie's giving her report? I'm not sure where the music's coming from, but I can't hear a thing, so.
There we go. Yeah, I think it's the piano. So I will repeat myself. So extended hours. We're going to be adding Sunday hours, and we're going to be adding an extra hour in the evening, Monday through Thursday. So we'll be open till 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Hopefully that after work crowd, that will help those folks get in here. And then Sunday we'll be doing 1 to 4. Before it had been 1 to 5, but managers were able to get very creative with schedules, and with just slight tweaking of folks, fill those extra hours. And we were able to do that with the staff that we have now. So we will be posting for one circulation position, and hopefully that person, by the time we post and interview and onboard them, it would be in the new year. So we're on target with what we talked about last month, but we did find a way to actually add those hours now. So I think those Sunday hours will be a huge benefit to our community. So managers are going to be working those first 3 Sundays in November, because for many reasons. But one, throughout the pandemic, we've tried to lead. So we've always done things first, curbside and mask enforcement. And so we took those first 3 Sundays, and then it's just part of the regular rotation for all of staff after that. So that starts on Monday, November 2nd. So we will be pretty soon, because that's actually not too far away. We will be advertising those extended hours to the community soon. So we're excited about that. We think that's a good move for us. Election day. So the messaging and the signs, not the signage, Jason, but the signs have been posted. So we're just letting everyone know there's most likely going to be, more people in our building than usual, just so that there's an awareness of that for patrons that regularly come in, and that our services will be limited. So we've talked about this before, but just to, just to remind everyone, the managers will be working that day. So there'll be 4 of us and then someone coming in to another manager to relieve us for breaks. So we're really going to stay limited to our desks. There's the mask enforcement from the election commission, all the management of what happens in the polling places up to the election commission. They cannot enforce the mask rule because that would be voter suppression. So therefore we think out on the floor, if people aren't wearing masks, it's hard for us to also enforce it with just other people coming in. So I think just for the safety of everyone, that was the best move for us. So all staff who normally work on a Tuesday were just rescheduled at other times during the week. So, and that date is actually approaching pretty quickly as well. So I have talked to the election judges that will be on site. I talked to them both yesterday. And so we're coordinating all of that with them. So it should be a but a busy day. So I also just wanted to mention, as you probably all heard, DuPage is now in a mitigation plan. We're in tier 1. That doesn't impact what we'll be doing here, but it just means starting Friday, for indoor dining, our service will be closed. So all of that is up on. Governor released a press release today. All of the details are there. So just like everything else, we'll be paying attention. We know the rates around here have drastically increased. So we'll stay vigilant as always with our mask wearing, our mask enforcement with our patrons, the vast majority of whom walk in complying. There's a few issues that have kind of come up, but we've dealt with those. And I just wanted to let you know that we're aware of what's going on and we'll pay attention, and any updates, obviously, we'll share that with the board. And then lastly, just quickly, I am like horrible timing, but I am scheduled for a week off next week. Not going anywhere except for my kitchen, my living room, my backyard, but I will be available to staff if anything comes up, obviously. And that actually makes me feel better to know that I'd be available if something pops up. So just down the street. So, that is all that I had this evening.
Thank you. Anything else? Any questions? All right. On to additions. Oh, I'm sorry. No, not on to Brittany. Oh my gosh.
And I actually have things. So a couple exciting things coming up. So as you all know, winter programming is fast approaching. That's December, January, and February. And every winter we do our Westmont Reads program. So obviously we have to be creative this year with everything going virtual. So we will do not a full-blown like summer learning, but a virtual reading program. We will use Beanstack like we did for our summer learning program. And this year we are actually gonna focus on own voices and encouraging the many voices of Westmont to read about the many voices there are out there. And so we're really working on creating some book lists to help patrons explore different works of literature that are written by authors of either different race, different gender, different socioeconomic status, other, or literature that has characters of that sort. So we're going to work on not only educating the community of what own voices means, but also giving them some awesome recommendations to kind of explore outside of their comfort zone. And how the program will work is really, if you read a book, you get a prize. And if you read a second book, you get put in a raffle to get more prizes. So we're really excited. I think a lot of the staff are excited to be putting together some book lists. This kind of kicked off because we started some various book lists about different topics like immigration, about voting rights. We've been doing some more social justice focused book lists that have gotten some great feedback from our community. So we look forward to continuing that conversation December through February. And then kind of along similar lines, we're really going to do a big reader's advisory push in the winter. So we understand that a lot of patrons are going to need things to do, new things to explore, and also that they're going to want to do that in various ways. Some may be comfortable coming into the library, but some may still be virtual. So we really want to make sure we have options on what to read and how to read it and how to get that information from us. So a couple of things we're doing is obviously we're going to devote a little area in our newsletter that'll go out for the winter about different readers advisory tools. So we do have kind of a service where you can kind of fill out a form and we can give you a personalized list of recommendations. We have our book recs, which are recommendations on individual items. We will also be ramping up our lists. So for example, bestsellers coming out in the next few months, favorite cozy mysteries, things like that. So that if you have a particular genre you like, or a particular maybe even format, audiobook, graphic novel, you can grab some pre-made lists to explore. We are also doing book bundles. So youth is gonna work on basically bundling a few items together that kind of all go together so you could check them out all at once. We'll be putting them in our lobby so that it's a nice quick grab and go service for those who don't wanna spend too much time, or obviously they can pick those up via curbside with us. And just really concentrating on making sure we're getting resources to patrons who come in our building and visit us, but also those who want to ask us for information, and maybe those who don't want to ask us at all and just want to find some information on our webpage.
Brittany, just one quick question. Will this kind of bundle available through the digital library?
I don't know if we're able to bundle digital materials together in that sort of way, but I think one thing we can do is make lists that are specific with digital content that are about maybe one type of subject. You'd have to check out each of them individually, but definitely making those lists also for our digital materials so that if you want to check out, for example, detective mysteries, we could give you top 10 detective mysteries that you could check out virtually.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Julie, anything? Okay, thanks. All right, now on to additions and deletions.
I'll move to add the additions and deletions to the report.
Second.
I think that was Heather. John and Heather, discussion? Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
Thank you. On to the Treasurer's Report.
I move to file the Treasurer's Report for audit.
Second.
Gary and Annie, discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
And the Treasurer's Report is filed for audit. On to bills and salaries.
Move to approve bills and salaries.
Second.
Heather and Annie, discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
We have no unfinished business, so on to new business item A. Board to consider a motion to approve the fiscal year 22 levy request resolution in the amount of $2,086,808.
So moved.
Second.
Carrie and John, discussion.
Yes, so a few notes about this. First of all, I cannot believe it's this time already. Like, was that shocking to you guys? I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I can't believe it's that time of year already. So I feel like we just finished. So this is, as you all know, this is what we do this time of year. We put in our initial request. Once approved by the board here, it's sent to the village, incorporated into their levy ordinance, and then submitted to the county. And then in March, once they do all of their calculations, they send that number back to us of what we can actually receive. So typically what we've done the past few years is levy around 4.9%, which is the most you can do without having a public hearing. Although I will just note that the village has, in all the years that I've been here, has always had a public hearing just for transparency's sake anyway. And I do attend those meetings in case there's a question from taxpayers or their board. But typically what we've done is we've submitted for that 4.9-ish%. And then what we really do is evaluate in March when we have the actual number that we can receive, and you can look at that next to the budget, because at that point we've gone through a few rounds of the draft budget, and you can at that point determine how much you want. That being said, you also could this evening, you know, decide to ask for less than that 4.9%. So I did put a few, you know, of those calculations in the attached report. It's just one thing to remember is you cannot receive more in March than what we request tonight. So that's, you know, traditionally the thinking of why we've always kind of cast a wider net is just to see then in March, what are the actual numbers? And the calculation board is it's CPI, which we do know for this year, plus new development, which we don't know, plus a whole bunch of other very complicated math that the county does. So, there's limiting rates and all of those things that go into it. So with that said, what I put on the agenda and the resolution that I presented to you is with that higher amount, just because we need to put a figure on the agenda, and you can lower it, but we could not increase it since that's what would be posted on our agenda. So so if there's any questions about that, you know, or if you want to discuss, talk about that.
Any other questions or feedback?
You're saving it all for March.
All right, then roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
On to new business item B, board to discuss the fiscal year 20 per capita grant expenditures.
So the great news about that is we got our money. So so that's wonderful. And originally I did have on here, you know, to also discuss the upcoming application and requirements, but just a quick update on that. They still have not released those. The state library has not released them. I have heard it's imminent and I've heard rumors of what the requirements are. But they did say that the deadline, because the deadline has always been January, and there are things that the board does have to do. They did say they are pushing it, just so you know. It's not going to be a mad scramble for you to read what you need to read and digest that information. It sounds like they'll be pushing the application deadline to March. So that's for the upcoming application. So for the last year's application, which was obviously approved, and we received that money, we have about $30,000, and what I wanted to do with it, unless there's, you know, some big, like, hands up in the air that you don't want us to spend it this way. We do need to finish the lighting project in the building, so we have done pieces of it, the conversion to LED. So we have done the lobby and the computer lab and then a few odd units on the first floor. But we do need to finish the second floor, the staff area, and then just the other odd units on the first floor. So the huge benefit to doing that now is ComEd has a incentive program for government agencies. And you know that gets renewed every year if it does get renewed. So the other huge benefit is then we're not paying cost for light bulbs. We're not having to recycle the old light bulbs, and we're not paying maintenance for someone to come in and replace those units, which does quickly add up. And it's also just staff time, Julie's time ordering them, finding them, organizing to get them replaced. So we got a quote for finishing the entire building for $20,000. So, but then I got a call saying that ComEd is actually boosting their incentive program, and it looks like we can do it for significantly less. We'll have confirmation of that tomorrow. So they are expecting we could have anywhere from an extra $5,000 to $10,000 off of that, which is, I mean, that's huge. That would be huge if we could do that. So I'll know that tomorrow. So they said they would confirm those rates, incentives for us tomorrow. So the remaining funds we wanted to use to get a new adult services desk, where you all know where it's located now. I don't have to explain that. Where we want to move it is the second pillar, if you can imagine that. There's a second pillar as you walk towards the community meeting room. And what we wanted to do is kind of have it as a two-person, an L-shaped desk, so that someone who's working there still has direct line of sight to our front desk, which actually both departments really appreciate, because they can somewhat communicate with each other as far as, you know, if they need to transfer someone back and forth. And then also, perhaps just more importantly, set of eyes directed at the computer lab. So a huge portion of the questions that adult services, you know, their questions come from the computer lab. And as it is now, because we do have shelves in the way, people from the computer lab can't hail us down at the adult services desk like they used to, and they loved that. So if they're in there, they have to walk all the way back over to get us. So, and it's staff actually want to move so that they have access to the computer lab. So anyway, that was something that staff were very excited about doing. And so that was our intention to spend the rest of the money on. So I just wanted to run that by you in case there was anything you were, you know, really hoping, wishing we were going to spend that money on. So we'll just move ahead with those plans, as long as that's okay with everyone.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I do. How did you word what we were going to use the grant for when we applied for it?
Yeah. So we've done the past, I want to say it's 3 years is when they allowed you to use it for facility improvements. And it's a really broad category. And so it can cover all, you know, I mean, pretty much anything.
Okay.
And so that is what we've done.
Okay, good.
Yeah, when we do the application, we tend to not, especially, you know, a few years ago, we didn't spend a lot of time spelling out specifically just because we didn't know if those funds during the recession were going to come through. And so we didn't want to spend a lot of time on that. So we've kind of kept it general.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Then moving on to new business item C, board to consider a motion to approve the borrower registration policy.
Move to approve the borrower registration policy.
Second,
Elaine. Discussion.
Borrower, I get stuck on it. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory, hopefully, what was proposed in the packet. So the, you know, SWAN does a national, I don't even know why I'm speaking. This is really Brittany's, this is her area of expertise. So I'm going to let her explain it.
Yeah. So part of it, we've been talking about this for a little bit, just different ways we can make sure to, ensure access for everyone and make it a seamless, transition, not transition, but a seamless process to get your library card and keep your library card. And for the past 2 years, SWAN has done something called the NCOA, so the National Change of Address, where they take our database of names and addresses and double check it with USPS, and it flags all the accounts that have incorrect information where they may have moved since when they got their card. So in essence, yearly, we check to see if our patrons are still living where they said they were living previously. And so we thought this was a perfect time actually to move then to an expiration date of never, since traditionally our 3 year expiration has been to kind of check in on patrons, see if they're still living at the location that they were when they got their library card, to update any information. And so we feel that's pretty repetitive now that these accounts are being flagged and we have to kind of reach out and work with them in one way, shape, or form anyways. So we thought this was a great opportunity then to remove that so that every 3 years people don't have to come in and show us their proof of address. They will just continue to have their library services until they no longer live within the Westmont boundaries.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Then roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
Okay, so not hearing anyone exclaim a desire for an executive session tonight, we have no other new business. So last chance to say anything you might want to say before we're cut off after adjournment.
Just wanted to say hello to everyone.
Yes. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Spencer.
Hello. Good to see you all.
And you as well.
Here he is. Anyone else? Anything else? Okay, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Annie and Elaine. Any discussion? Probably not. So roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel.
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
And we are adjourned at 7:33 p.m. Thank you, everyone. Be well.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.